A production of SDPB, South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Secretary, to please take the roll.
Representative Ingalls.
Here.
Representative Feinstein.
Here.
Representative Gibson.
Here.
Representative Gosch.
Here.
Representative Hamel.
Here.
Representative Hoffman.
Here.
Representative Killer. Representative Lust.
Here.
Representative Mosier.
Here.
Representative Schleckaway.
Here.
Representative Turbeville.
Here.
Representative Hunt.
Here.
Representative Cutler?
Here.
Madam Chair, 12 of 13 are present.
We do have a quorum present. The Chair seeks approval of prior minutes. So moved by Turbeville, seconded by Hunt. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Our minutes are so approved. Well, good morning once again, committee, and good morning to our internet listeners. We have a few matters to take care of yet this morning. We'd like to start below the line with Senate Bill 78, Representative Hunhoff can be found. I know. I think someone's looking for him. Until he comes in, we'll go ahead and move then above the line to our first bill on the calendar, Senate Bill 33. Senate Bill 33 is an act to revise certain provisions regarding permission to carry a concealed pistol and to repeal certain requirements concerning applications to purchase a pistol. And with that, we welcome you, Mr. Secretary.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Chris Nelson, Secretary of State. We do bring this bill to you as an agency bill. It clarifies two different provisions of our concealed permit law and repeals an obsolete provision, and I want to go through those section by section. Section 1 of the bill deals with adding a provision that overtly states that the sheriff, who is the one that actually issues the concealed weapon permit, can in fact keep a copy of the original permit application. We have another statute that says the sheriff can't keep any record or list or compilation of all of the different people that they've issued these permits to, and we want to just clarify that it's okay for them to keep that original application so that they at least know who they've issued a permit to. The second clarification comes in Section 2, and it deals with the qualifications of someone to receive a concealed weapons permit. And one of the questions that we've gotten more repeatedly deals with the residency requirement. And the current law says you have to be a resident of the county in order to receive that permit. And the question comes in, well, what does that mean? How long ago do you have to have been a resident? And so we've tried to clarify that by specifically saying you need to physically reside in that county immediately prior to the application, not having resided there 10 years ago or sometime in the past, but some recent nexus to that county. And Madam Chair, I do have an amendment in that area that I'll offer in a moment to clarify a particular issue there. The last item deals with Section 3, and this is repealing an obsolete provision that says if you go into purchase a pistol and you do not have a concealed weapons permit, that the sheriff has to fill out a piece of, or the seller has to fill out a piece of paperwork called an application to purchase a pistol and sends it to your county sheriff within 6 hours of your purchasing that pistol. And I say that this is obsolete because this statute predates the federal requirement for an instant background check. And right now, you go in and purchase that weapon, they're going to do an instant background check. They're going to make sure you don't have anything that would preclude you in your background from having that weapon, and it's all taken care of on the spot. The idea of this statute, when it was originally passed, would have been so that at least a sheriff had some notion or some indication that somebody who didn't have a concealed weapons permit had, in fact, decided to purchase a pistol, and that while they wouldn't be able to do any type of a background check before they got the pistol, they'd at least have that knowledge. Anymore, our pistol sellers are saying, why are we filling out this paperwork? It has no purpose. And our sheriffs are saying, why are we getting this paperwork? It has no purpose. And so this section truly is South Dakota Paperwork Reduction Act in effect, if we can get that passed. The amendment that I referred to earlier, if I might, Madam Chair, is an amendment that would simply clarify in this area of residency that any active duty military person whose home of record is in South Dakota would not be disenfranchised by the emphasis on immediately physically residing in South Dakota, that they would still be able to continue to get a concealed weapons permit from South Dakota, from whatever county their home of record is in. They are able to do that now, and we just want to clarify that they will not be disenfranchised whatsoever. Madam Chair, be happy to answer questions when appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And with that, we have further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 33. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to Senate Bill 33? Seeing none, we'll close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to any questions of the committee. Seeing none, we'll close to committee questions and open to committee discussion or action on Senate Bill 33. Representative Hamill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would move a due pass on Senate Bill 33.
Representative Hamill, there is an amendment that...
I meant to move the amendment, please.
You wish to withdraw your...
I do.
And you wish to move 33TB?
33FB.
FB. Sorry, I don't have my glasses on this morning. Moved by Hamill, seconded by Turbeville. Remarks on that motion, Representative Hamill?
No, thank you, ma'am.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Senate Bill 33 is so amended. We are back to Senate Bill 33 as amended. Representative Hamill.
Madam Chairman, this bill just seems to be a way to update our statutes and seems very self-explanatory. I would urge passage.
Further remarks? That isn't a motion yet, Representative Gibson, even though I know you're always ready with that second.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hunt.
Move due pass on Senate Bill 33.
As amended. Moved by Hunt. Representative Gibson, do you have that second ready? Okay. Representative Hoffman. Moved by Hunt, seconded by Hoffman, Senate Bill 33, do pass as amended. Further discussion on that motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will please call the roll, and those in favor will say aye, those opposed, no.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosher?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turbeville?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Madam Chair, 13 ayes.
And Senate Bill 33 goes to the floor, do pass as amended. Representative Turbeville. Moved consent by Turbeville, seconded by Mosher. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Senate Bill 33 goes to the consent calendar. With that, we will go ahead and drop below the line to Senate Bill 78. As you recall, committee, this was a hog house bill, which is an act to provide for a plan to be presented to the legislature regarding the need for additional drug courts and certain other correctional issues. Is there any other proponent testimony? Anything more you'd like to say, Representative Hunhoff? Yes, we'll open to, first of all, since we open to proponent testimony, is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, then we'll close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to any questions of the committee. Seeing no further questions of the committee, we are open to further discussion or action on Senate Bill 78. Representative Ingalls.
Second.
Move due pass by Ingalls, seconded by Gibson. Remarks on that motion, Representative Ingalls. Anything further of the committee on the due pass motion on Senate Bill 78? Seeing nothing further, the Secretary will please call the roll. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no.
Representative Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hamill. Hoffman?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosher?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turbeville? Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Madam Chair, 13 ayes.
And Senate Bill 78 goes to the floor. Do pass.
How my bills came to this committee.
Madam Chair, move consent.
Madam Chair.
Representative Feinstein moves consent.
Second.
Seconded by Gibson. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
No.
And Senate Bill 78, sorry, will not go to the consent calendar.
Madam Chair.
Representative Turbeville.
I have a question. In my packet, I had a title amendment to 78, Senate Bill 78. Is that
We did move the title amendment at the last committee hearing. Thank you, though, for staying on top of those things, Representative Turbeville. I appreciate that. And we will move then in the calendar to Senate Bill 70. Senate Bill 70, which is an act to repeal the provision requiring a 48-hour waiting period to purchase a pistol. With that, we are open to proponent testimony on Senate Bill 70.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for having me today. Christine Noem, representative from District 6. What you have before you is Senate Bill 70, and I won't take up much of your time because there are other proponents that want to speak to you, but essentially what this legislation would do would repeal the two-day waiting period when you purchase a handgun or a pistol. Currently, right now, you do not have a two-day waiting period to purchase a long gun, which would be a rifle or a shotgun, or if you already have your concealed carry permit, it does not take 2 days in order to purchase that pistol. However, one of the reasons that that two-day waiting period was originally put in was to benefit the process of a background check. And since those happen instantaneously right now, there seems to be no other reason for a waiting period. However, I won't take up much of your time because I know the other proponents want to speak to this as well, and I'll allow them to do that without making you listen to it three times. So thank you for your consideration. I'd ask for your support of Senate Bill 70.
Thank you, Representative Noem. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 70.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Well, I will not take up much of your time. I just wanted the opportunity to come back over here. I miss you folks, and I know that Representative Noem sometimes struggles with her public speaking, so I wanted to make sure that she did an adequate job, and I believe she has. So thank you, members of the committee.
Senator, although we know who you are, those listening on the internet might like to know who you are.
I also struggle with my public speaking. Senator, District 29, Senator Larry Roden. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Roden. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 70. Good morning. Good
morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Darren Goins. I'm a lobbyist for the National Rifle Association. On behalf of our South Dakota membership, I'd like you to urge you to support this legislation this morning. It's not a terribly complicated issue, and touching on what Secretary of State Nelson had alluded to earlier really briefly on his issue, and that is that the federal background check is computerized, which makes it instant. So that's one of the major reasons for getting rid of this. There simply isn't a need for it anymore. In 1993, the country extensively debated the Brady Bill, and part of the Brady Bill was a requirement that all gun purchasers subject themselves to a background check. In 1994, that bill was actually signed into law by President Clinton, but it wasn't until 1998 that those checks became instantaneous in the form of being computerized. So in that period between passage and enactment of the federal law and the online of NICS, the feds required a five-day waiting period. And that five-day waiting period, states had the option of getting rid of their waiting period when that came online. And this really becomes an issue in states like South Dakota, where you might be from Harriet or Buffalo or somewhere, you know, not near a major metropolitan area or a big city, and you happen to be at a retailer, say in Sioux Falls or Rapid City, maybe over Christmas, and you go into Shields and you see a handgun you want to buy, and you fill out the paperwork and you pass the background check that everybody else in other states would, and they say, well, now come back in 2 days. And sometimes that drive isn't always practical to come back in 2 days. It's important to remember that 40 states no longer have a waiting period. South Dakota is one of 10 states that only have waiting period. There's only 9 other states that do. And if you look at the other 9 states that have it, South Dakota is sort of glaring on that list, because these states would be viewed as typically anti-gun states, not Second Amendment states. For example, Illinois and Wisconsin are on there, and those are only 2 of 50 states that don't even have a concealed carry process. They're the only 2 states remaining that haven't made that change as well. So this bill is something that I think is good for the gun owners of South Dakota, because it gets rid of something that's unnecessary, coming back in 2 days. But it's very important to realize, and I can't emphasize this enough, that nothing changes in terms of the requirements that a person would have to subject to in terms of buying a handgun. You still have to pass a federal background check, and there's nothing in this bill that would change that. And with that, I would be happy to entertain any questions that the committee may have, and I would urge you to adopt Senate Bill 70.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 70. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I won't repeat anything that was said. South Dakota Gun Owners also supports this bill.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm sorry, thank you. I guess I need some work on my public speaking as well. I'm Zach Lautenschlager, Communications Director for South Dakota Gun Owners.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 70. Seeing no further proponent testimony, is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to any questions of the committee. Any questions of the committee? Seeing no questions of the committee, we'll close to committee questions and open to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 70. Representative Hoffman.
Madam Chair, I move due pass of this.
Move due pass by Hoffman, seconded by Representative Hamill. Remarks on that motion, Representative Hoffman.
I think it's a good bill. It alleviates the drive back and forth to communities, and also coming from Eureka to Aberdeen, you would have to go back home 70 miles, so it's not even from Harriet to Sioux Falls. It could be from Eureka to Aberdeen, and I think this clears up language and makes it safer for all of us living out in the hinterlands. Thank you.
Further discussion on the due pass motion on Senate Bill 70. Seeing nothing further, the Secretary will please call the roll, and those in favor will say aye, those opposed no.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosher?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turbeville?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Madam Chair, 13 ayes.
And Senate Bill 70 goes to the floor. Due pass. To move consent by Feinstein?
No.
Oh, that's a no. Thank you, Representative Feinstein. To continue our Gun Day Monday, we will come down to Senate Bill 108. You could throw in Fun Day with that if you really wanted to. Senate Bill 108, which is an act to exclude parole agents from concealed weapons permit requirements. With that, we are open to proponent testimony for Senate Bill 108.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Craig Teason, Senator, District 34, Rapid City. I had noted the same thing that you had. It's Gun Day in Judiciary Committee. Senate Bill 108 is a bill brought to the request of Department of Corrections, which exempts parole officers from the provisions of the concealed weapons permit laws. Currently, law enforcement officers are exempt from the provisions of concealed weapons permit for what I think are probably fairly obvious reasons. First of all, law enforcement officers are going to undergo a very thorough background check before being hired as law enforcement. Secondly, they're, you know, carrying out the work of government as law enforcement officers. In 2005, I believe, parole officers in South Dakota became armed to carry out their duties. However, they are not technically law enforcement officers because they are not certified as such by Law Enforcement Training Standards and Training Commission. So they do not fall under the exemption provision. They are, however, of course, they undergo the same sort of background check before being hired as law enforcement officers do. And, of course, they are fully trained in using a firearm. It was part of the process when they first became armed to make sure that training was appropriate. So it would seem appropriate that we provide them the same exemption that we do law enforcement officers. Department of Corrections will testify to that as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 108.
Good morning, Representative Cutler, members of the committee. I'm Lori Filer with the Department of Corrections. As Senator Teason said, the state decided to arm our adult parole agents in the fall of 2005, and that really occurred after a very deliberate process of looking at that. Right now, The most recent information I have, about 40 states do arm their adult parole agents. And that's one of the things that we looked at when we were determining whether we wanted to arm or not. We did get technical assistance from the National Institute of Corrections. We also worked with the Highway Patrol here in South Dakota, and we also worked with the law enforcement training group. We also partnered with local law enforcement in putting together our training. Though our parole agents do not meet the definition and statute of law enforcement, they have law enforcement-like duties. That's one piece of what they do. But the other piece is more of the counselor, social work, case management piece of it. So it's trying to kind of meld those two things together. One of the things that really was kind of that put us over the top in terms of the decision to proceed with arming was the consultant from the National Institute of Corrections said, if you as a state are going to have your parole agents have the power to arrest, you really ought to equip them with the proper tools for that. And so that's kind of what a little bit of the background in terms of the 2005 decision. What we've been doing up, you know, since then is the parole agent has to get a pistol permit, and it really isn't a real big deal. I mean, honestly, it isn't. Really, the second section of this bill is probably the thing that's the biggest, and I will call it a nuisance because I don't want to make it seem like it's bigger than that. But we do have to have written permission from the sheriff in order for a parole agent to carry their duty weapon into a bar. Let's say they're doing checks at night to make sure one of their parolees isn't up at the bar having a beer. They literally have to have written permission from the county sheriff in order to carry that duty-issued firearm into the bar. So this would also eliminate that need. We actually got the idea to take care of this in statute when we were looking at Secretary of State's bill, Senate Bill 33, and considered briefly at the beginning of the session asking him to amend that. Visited with Ruben at the time, and Ruben said, you know, it's kind of a stretch if it's germane. So we had asked a couple members of the Corrections Commission, Senator Teason and Representative Pitts, to put this bill in on our behalf. So that's kind of the background on it. With that, I try to answer any questions that the committee has.
Thank you. Thank you. And is there any further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 108? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to questions of the committee. Representative Turbeville.
Madam Chair, I have a question for Lori Filer, please. I guess I understand, you know, all about the law enforcement being required to get the not have a permit, but what is the purpose of this? Getting a concealed pistol permit is not a long process. It's not something that we're talking, as Senator Teason had indicated, that you have the background check, which I would have one when I got my permit. You have training, which I also had that. So why do you not want them to have to go through that simple and process?
Ms. Filer.
Representative Turbeville, you're absolutely correct. I guess I'd say I would agree with you. It is a simple process, and this is not this is certainly not the biggest issue in the world. Parole agents are required to carry a weapon as part of their duties. That's one of their responsibilities. They're the only state employee that are required to have a duty firearm that also has to have a pistol permit. And as I said, I think the biggest inconvenience for it is the issue of having to have the county sheriff approve in writing that they can carry that pistol into the bar. And that's Section 2 of the bill.
Further questions? Representative Hamill.
Yes. For Ms. Filer, is the training for parole agents the same? I heard that referenced. Is it the same for law enforcement as for parole agents? Is there a difference in training?
Ms. Filer.
Yes, there is. Parole agents do not go through the basic law enforcement training academy. We do in-house training. We have, you know, the regular parole agent training independent of the firearm training. And then in addition to that, we have three of our parole agents that are NRA certified trainers. They went through the NRA school, and we do the firearms training in-house in conjunction with some of the local law enforcement. Like, I know we partnered with the Rapid City Police Department when we were originally setting this up. We have the initial pre-service training that they have to qualify with their firearm, and then we have annual refresher training as well.
Further questions of the committee? Seeing none, we'll close to committee questions and open to committee discussion or action on Senate Bill 108. Representative Turbeville.
Madam Chair, I would move that we defer Senate Bill 108 to the 41st day.
Moved by Turbeville, seconded by Gasht. Remarks on that motion, Representative Turbeville.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the sponsors bringing this to us, but I really don't see the problem here with a parole agent having to go through the process of getting a concealed weapons permit. So far in the testimony, the only inconvenience that was mentioned was a written permission to go into a bar from the sheriff. That has nothing to do with whether or not a parole agent has a concealed weapons permit. So it's not lengthy, it's not detailed. They are not law enforcement, and therefore I would submit that it is a process that I would feel much more comfortable with them having, and I think that they would want to have one too. So for that reason, I'd ask that you support the 41st day move. Thank you.
Anything further on the Turbeville motion to the 41st day? Representative Ingalls.
I would ask you to resist the motion. As Ms. Feiler said, this isn't the biggest issue in the world, but I don't know why. I just don't have any problem with parole agents as agents of the state working to supervise people who are on parole, and I understand they need guns, and I don't see any problem with them having those without a pistol permit.
Further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I'm looking at this, what appears to be kind of a simple issue may be a little more complicated. I look at it, apparently, if I'm understanding the bill right, under current legislation, the parole agent, if they went into a bar, would still have to get something in writing from the sheriff. And if that's the case, then, you know, we're saying that they have to go to the sheriff anyway. So what is one more step, an existing step, as far as getting a concealed permit? But if I misunderstand that, I certainly stand corrected, Madam Chair.
I think that's fundamental to understanding the bill. I'd like Ms. Feiler to please come up again, if she would, to answer that question.
Thank you, Representative Cutler. I'm looking on page 2, line 4 of the bill. And the bill is proposing to insert parole agents, where it says nothing in this section prevents law enforcement officers, parole agents, and security guards from carrying concealed weapons. Right now, law enforcement officers and security guards don't have to have the written permission. The written permission applies to the other public officials. So the intent of that section is to exempt parole agents like law enforcement from having to get that written permission.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Representative Feinstein.
I guess I'd like to offer an amendment and strike lines 4 to 11.
On which page?
Page 1.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion, Representative Feinstein.
Well, I guess it... what I heard today in the testimony was that part one is probably a weak part. We really wanted to be here for the second section of the bill, and I think Jermaine and my friend from Lead over there, I think it may satisfy his request to kill the bill and maybe allow this thing to live and at least put the part that really has guts to it into law.
Further remarks on the Feinstein motion to amend. Do you repeat the motion for Representative Gasht, please?
Thank you. It's just on page 1 to strike lines 4 to 11 of the bill. essentially keep Section 2 alive.
Further questions or discussion on the Feinstein motion to amend? Representative Turbeville.
Well, if we delete lines 4 through 11, when I look on page 2, line 4, the word parole agents is still there. I just don't like the entire bill, and this is not gonna satisfy the representative from Deadwood. I think that we're looking at 23-7-8 covers everything. I think in the best interest that what we do is just to defeat the entire bill, and I would ask that you vote no on the amendment.
Further discussion on the Feinstein motion to amend. Representative Feinstein.
I thank my good friend from Deadwood, and I guess I will concur and ask you to kill the amendment.
Would you care to withdraw your amendment, your motion?
I'll withdraw it if the second's withdrawn, I suppose.
You are free to withdraw your motion to amend if you so desire, Representative Feinstein. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I will.
All right, we're back to Senate Bill 108 and the motion to the 41st day. Representative Lust.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I would ask you resist the motion to defer. If you look at, and I appreciate Ms. Fila clarifying, if you look at Section 2, the fact that you can have security guards having these weapons in bars, the level of training of a security guard for some of these premises is next to nothing. So to somehow say they can, and parole agents who do have some training, and our wards of the state or agents of the state should not be able to go in there, I think makes no sense. So I think Section 2 is important and does accomplish something. Section 1, likewise, and you're looking at a parole agent who is acting under authority vested to that agent in the state, and for them to be able to carry a concealed weapon, I think is necessary. And I think the bill accomplishes something, although not horribly significant. I think it is nonetheless an important thing. We need to have parole agents have that right. So I would ask that you resist a motion and to defer the 41st day and support Representative Mosier's motion to pass.
Representative Ingalls. Is that a substitute motion?
Second.
And seconded by Representative Hoffman. Remarks on that motion, Representative Ingalls.
We're finally getting down to it.
Is there anything further on Senate Bill 108 and the motion, the substitute motion to pass? Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, nothing in this bill allows a parole agent to carry a concealed weapon. This simply is going to be waiving the requirement to get a permit to carry concealed. The first part of the section, also of the existing statute, doesn't allow a security officer at a bar to carry a weapon, a concealed weapon, without a permit. There was reference earlier by a previous speaker about the second section allowing security guards to carry concealed, and that was something as an exception or particular, or maybe as something of importance compared to the first section, but I don't think that it is. And I think having a parole agent go to the sheriff's office like anybody else and get that permit, when the parole agents don't have that, the specialized training as a law enforcement officer, I think is still a good idea. And so I would resist the substitute motion and urge you to send this to the 41st day. Thank you.
Further remarks? Any further discussion? We are on the Ingalls substitute motion do pass. If there's nothing further of the committee, the secretary will please call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
No.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
No.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Pillar?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosher?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turbeville?
No.
Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Madam Chair, 10 ayes, 3 noes.
And Senate Bill 108 goes to the floor, do pass. With that, committee, we have concluded our calendar, not only for the day, but for the year. However, we still need to have one further Judiciary Committee meeting so that we can get your requests for summer studies. And so we will schedule a brief meeting on Wednesday as part of our the end of our official duties in House Judiciary. It'll be brief, but bring your ideas for summer study with you. And I also would like you to know that we did receive a letter from Ruben, and it was addressed to me, but it is also to all of you. And so I would be happy to share that with you as we conclude today. If you'd like to stick around and read it, all of you have mentioned in his letter, and I think you enjoy it. I think it's a true signal that he is mending well. So if he's listening, we wish him well, and hurry back to the South Dakota Legislature. We miss you. With that, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Second. Moved by Turbeville, seconded by Hunt. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? We are adjourned. We want to thank our pages this morning, too, for their hard work with us. We didn't get you in under the wire, but thank you both for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.